We begin the current daf Masechtas Nedarim daf Mem. We begin at the bottom of Lamed Tes Mem Beis, in the bottom line, where the Gemara continues the halachas and the concept of Bikur Chayilim, of visiting the sick. So the Gemara begins, Rav Chelbei Cholash. Rav Chelbei was ill. So Nafik Achris Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana went out and he announced, as we continue on top of Mem Amad Alf, Rav Chelbei Boish. He told people that Rav Chelbei is ill. La'ikad Dukasi, nobody came to visit. Amalahu, he said to everybody, La'ikachoye Maisa. Wasn't there already once such an incident? B'talmud echad mitamid Rabbi Kiva shalchala. With one of the students, Rabbi Kiva became ill. V'nichnasu chacham levakre. None of the sages came to visit him. V'nichnas Rabbi Kiva levakre. Rabbi Kiva, the Rebbe, came to visit him. U'bishvil shechibdu v'ribtu lefanav. And because they swept and they cleaned up in front of the ill person, because Rabbi Kiva said that is because when someone comes to visit a sick person, so he comes and he takes care of all the affairs of the sick person. So Rabbi Kiva saw what was going on, he made sure they clean up. And Chaya, and therefore the person that was ill survived. And Amalei, the Chayla, the sick person, said to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi, my teacher, Hechi Yisani, you made me live because of you took care of me by visiting me. So Yatz Rabbi Kiva Vdash, Rabbi Kiva went out and he expounded and he said, Kol mi she'ein mevakar Chayla, whoever doesn't visit the sick, ki'ilu she'efech dam, it's as if he's spilling blood. And that is, had he not visited, he would have died. Similarly, Kiyasar Abdimiyam, when Abdimi came, he said, Kolam Avakar Esal Chayla. Whoever visits the sick, Gorim Leshiyachi, cause him to live. Evachol She'enim Avakar Esal Chayla, whoever doesn't visit the sick, Gorim Leshiyamas, he caused him to die. And therefore, Rabbi Kahana was saying, everyone should visit Rav Chelbei, you see how important it is to visit someone. So the Gemara wonders, my grandma, what does this mean that if somebody doesn't visit the sick, he causes him to die? As the Gemara asks, if it means to say that whoever visits the sick, the reason why he caused him to live is because he's going to see this sorry state of this person and he's going to beseech mercy that the person should survive, and because of his tefillah he'll live. And whereas whoever does not visit the sick, will daven that he should die, and that is shayamas sakadaitach, would you entertain that when you go there, then you daven, but when you don't go, you daven, he should die? Why would someone daven that he should die? Ella, kol she'ein mevakar chayla, rather what it means to say is that whoever doesn't visit the sick, ein mevakar shelov rachmim, he's not going to daven for the person, lo she'ichya, not that he should live, and v'lo she'yomas, not that he should die. Whereas the Rush interprets this gemara, meaning the lack of visiting caused the person not to daven, and therefore, consequently, the person is going to die. Now, but actually the Ran interprets this that the person is not going to daven that he shall live or die, meaning because actually sometimes a person should daven regarding an ill person that he should die. For example, if let's say the person that's sick is in a lot of pain and it's not possible for him to survive, whereas the Gemara says in Ksubis Perek Daf Kof Dalem et Alef, that when the maidservant of Rebbe saw that many times he had to go to the bathroom, take his tefillin on and off, and he was in a lot of pain, she davened that Yehi Ratzon Shekufa Elyon Vetachtonim, that the upper spheres should take control of the lower ones, in other words, that Rebbe should die. And therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying, is that when someone visits a sick person, his tefillah helps. It helps for the person to survive, because the tefillah by a chayla is more effective than not. But somebody that doesn't visit a sick person, he doesn't know what's happening with the person. And therefore, it's not going to help to have the person survive. And even where the person would be happy with dying, even that little amount of pleasure the person doesn't give him, because since he's not going there, doesn't see what's going on with the person, he's not going to know to daven for him to die. And therefore, what happens is, what he's saying is that Goyrim, he causes him not to live and not to die by not going to visit him, because then you're not going to know how to daven. And again, when you daven, when by the chayla, it helps him to survive. And when you don't go and you don't know what's going on, you're not going to be able to even daven in those situations where the person would like to die. Now, the Gemara tells us that Rava, Yemekadma dechalish amlahin, the first day when he was sick, meaning whenever he would become sick, the first day he would tell people that were around him, don't let people know that I'm ill. Lisra mazli, so that my mazel shouldn't become weakened. And that is like similar as the Gemara in Shabbos of Lamebezim and Aleph says that it has many different mishalim, parables, to say that when the ox falls, sharpen the knife. In other words, because when a person is in a compromised situation, his mazel is weakened and then more bad things could happen to him. And therefore he was concerned that maybe if an enemy of him will hear that he's sick, so that he's more vulnerable and susceptible, and therefore his illness will get worse. So he didn't want people yet to know, because it's the first day, maybe he's going to survive. Mekanva Eilich, but after that, when they saw he wasn't getting better, so Amalani would tell the people around him, look, Puku Vachrizu Beshuku, go out and announce it in the marketplace that everyone should know that I'm not well. Now, the Chol Desani Leilichtili, yes, let whoever hates me rejoice. Now, Uksiv, it says a pasuk in Mishlei, Ben Foyloi Vecha Al Tismach, when your enemy falls, do not be happy. And as the pasuk there continues, Uvikash Loi Al Yog Lebecha, when he stumbles, don't rejoice in your heart. Because the pasuk says, Penira Hashem, maybe Hashem is going to see that you're happy about someone else's downfall. The Rabbi, in it's going to be bad in Hashem's eyes. The Hashem Elavapa, and actually then Hashem will take away the anger that he has in that person, and that person will not fall anymore, will not be ill. So therefore it's good, let them be happy, because then I'll get better. And whoever cares about me will hear that I'm sick, will daven from me, so either way it's a win-win situation. Amar Rav. Rav says, whoever visits a sick person, nitzol medina shel gehenem, is saved from the judgment of gehenem. Shneim like says the pasuk in Tehillim. It says, ashrei maskil aldo, praiseworthy is the smart person to the poor, b'yoyim royim alteyu Hashem, on the day of evil Hashem will save him. So what does it mean, maskil aldo? Who is the smart one that gives to the dal? Ein dal elachel, the poor is the person that's sick. Shneim like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, midal yivatzeni, from illness he will make me whole. So you see that dal is a reference to illness, or inam min hadin kro, from a different pasuk in Shmuel Beis, where Yenadav was telling Amnon, madua ata kochel dal, why is it that you're so dal, which was because he was sick, ben hamelech, the son of the king, babayke, babayke, every single morning, begoyim, etc., where he said, halay tagli, tell me why you're so sick. But Yimle Amnon, and Amnon told him, es tamar achis avshalom achitz, because Tamar, the sister of my brother Avshalom, on the oyev, I love her and I want to have her, and that's why he was sick. But again, you see that the term of dal is a reference to someone that's sick. So ashrei maskil dal, praiseworthy is the one that's smart and goes to the sick person. He's mavaka chayla. That's what the pasuk says, that b'yoyim ra, on a day of evil, Hashem yimalteh Hashem will save him. What's the day of evil? Ein ro'el gehenem. That's a reference to gehenem. Shneim like it says the pasuk in Mishlei. It says, kol pol Hashem l'maneyu, whatever Hashem makes, he makes for his honor, for his sake. And begam rosh le'im ro, even the wicked person is designated for the day of evil, again, which is a reference that they go to Gehenim, and therefore, it's saying that he's being saved from the day of evil, it's that is because he's going to be saved from the judgment of Gehenim. Now, ve'im bikr maschara, and if he does visit the sick person, so what's his reward? Which the Gemara interrupts and says, maschara, what do you mean, what's his reward? Kedama, like you just said, and how you interpreted the pasuk, nitzel medina shel Gehenim, he's saved from the judgment of Gehenim. Ella, rather, what the question then is maschara ba'olam hazeh, what's his reward even in this world? That's what the pasuk continues afterwards. Hashem yishmereyu b'yichayehu. Hashem will safeguard him and cause him to live. V'usha ba'aretz, and he'll be praiseworthy in the land. V'al titneyu b'nefesh oyev, he won't be given over to the desires of his enemies, which the interpretation is as follows. Hashem yishmereyu, Hashem will safeguard him. That's miyitzahara, from the evil inclination. V'yichayehu, he'll make himself live. That's mnei surin, that'll be protected from afflictions. And v'usha ba'aretz, will be praiseworthy in the land, that everyone will praise him. Shiyu ha'kol meskabdim, by that everyone will find honor in this person. And v'al taneyu b'nefesh oyvav, this says that he won't be given over to the desires of his enemies. It means because she is damnu le'ireim, he will have friends. K'naman sheripoy et sarater. Meaning, we're talking about that you don't want to be given over to the desires of your enemies, you have to pick your friends wisely. And that he'll have friends like Naman, who his tzaras was healed, and that is because he was given the counsel to be tevil, to immerse himself in the Yarden, which was told to him by the Navi, but he didn't want to, but the friends told him, look, you came so far, go ahead and immerse yourself anyway. So he had good friends that healed him from his affliction, and he won't have, this person that visits the sick, won't have bad friends, like Rechavim, the son of Shlema Melech, Shechilkos Malchusa, because of their counsel, they didn't help. Rather, to the contrary, they made the Malchus Shlema be split into the tribe of to the kingdom of Yehuda and to the 10 tribes of Yisrael, which is that they gave him a counsel, as the pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, that Avi Yosser Eschem Meshaitim, that they told him to tell the Jewish people that my father hit you with a stick, and then Aniba Kravaim, I'm going to make it even worse for you. And he came down with a strong hand, and that was not what the elders told him. So those type of friends are not good, and such a person as Mabaka Chalem will be safe from those type of friends. Similarly, Tanya, we'll learn the Braisa, continuing on this last theme about bad friends like Rechavim had. Reb Shimon ben Elazar, he says, if the young ones tell you to build, but the elders tell you to demolish, listen to the elders and don't listen to the young ones. Because ironically, the building of the young ones is destruction. And actually the destruction of the elders is actually building, which is although that, and that's a similar double, the sign for this is Rechavim ben Shlema, where the young ones told him, you want control, take control. And actually, he lost all the control. Whereas the elders told him, go easy on them, which is, so to speak, Saiser, and that actually would have given him the control, and therefore, you listen to the elders and not to the young ones, or else you're going to end up like Rechavim ben Shlema, who lost most of the Malchus. Amar Shisha Bered Rav Idi says, Leilisad inish ketzira. A person should not visit a sick person. Loibit la shoy kadmaisa. Not in the first 3 hours of the day. Loibit la shoy basrais of the yom, and neither in the last 3 hours of the day. Why? Because the person that's going to visit then, in those two different time periods, will then give up hope from davening for the person. Why? Because tlashoy kadmaisa rav chadaita, the first 3 hours in the day, in the morning, so then the sick person is more healthy, more robust, more expansive. So the one who's visiting is going to think, oh, he's healthy already, and he doesn't need me to daven for him. And basraisa takiv chulshin, the last 3 hours of the day, so then he's more weakened, and then he's going to see him in that state. He's going to think, oh, he's beyond hope, and he's going to give up from davening from him, and therefore don't visit in those time periods either, because you're going to think he's already way healthy or way gone, and you're not going to daven, and he needs the tefillas. Amar Rav and Amar Rav. He says, Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Zanes Achelavim. Where do we know that Hakadosh Baruch Hu sustains a sick person? Like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, says Hashem Yisodeno Al Eres Devoy Begomer, that Hashem supports. Now it's also Lashon of Seuda. So he sustains the sick person on his deathbed. Va'amar Rav and Amar Rav, same Amir. It says, Minayin Shashchina Shrui Lamayla Bimitasu Shachalavim. Where do we know that the divine presence rests above from the bed of a sick person? Like it says in the pasuk that we just quoted, Hashem Yisaden Al Eres Devoy. Hashem supports him on his sick bed. Which again, that we see that obviously the divine presence is there on top of the sick person's bed, and therefore Tana Malachi is similar in the Braisa. Hanichnis Lavakar Sachelah. Someone comes to visit a sick person. Layeshiv. He shouldn't sit. Loyagabe Mita. Not on a recliner. On a bed. Loyagabe Savsal. Not on a bench. Loyagabe Kise. Not on a chair. Now, the Ram brings that some interpret that this is only talking about if the ill person is laying on the ground. So it comes out that the person who's visiting, if he's sitting on the bench, is going to be on a more elevated platform than where the divine presence is, which, because it's right on top of the sick person on the ground. That's why you shouldn't sit on a chair. Ela misatev yishav agabekaka. Rather, the person should cloak himself and sit on the ground. Because the divine presence rests on top of the bed of the sick person, like it says in the pasuk that we just quoted before, and since the divine presence is there, so you don't sit higher than where the divine presence is. So if the sick person's on the ground, you also sit on the ground, because or else you're going to be higher than the divine presence, which is not appropriate. Now the Gemara brings another statement from this Amora, and a different halacha. V'amar Rav and Amar Rav. He says, Mitra b'maravo, when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, which is in the west, Sahada Rabba Pras, so then there's a great testimony in the Euphrates River. In other words, in Bavel, which is to the east, it testifies, how do we know that it rained in Eretz Yisrael? There's a testimony by the Euphrates River, because when it gets big, we know that although it didn't rain here in Bavel, must be because it rained in Eretz Yisrael, which the water is flowing down over here to Bavel. Now, what's the halachic relevance of that? The relevance for this is that now you're not allowed to go ahead and do a tefillah, an immersion, which is for tahara purposes, in that Euphrates River right now. Now, the reason for this is because rainwater that drips, it doesn't purify in what's called zeichlin, in flowing water. It has to be in what's called ashboirin. It has to be that in water that's still water. And that's where actually the term mikveh comes from, which is the word of kavu, that it's gathered and it's in one place. And that's as is taught in the Sefri, that the Sefri says, you would think just like a spring purifies even when it's flowing, so too a mikveh would purify when it's flowing. That's what the Pasuk teaches, ach mayin ubayr, that there's a halacha of a spring and there's a halacha of a pit, which is that a spring purifies when it's flowing, but a mikvah is only by hashburn when the waters are still. Now, therefore, wherever there's a possible concern, then maybe there's more what's called neitfin, which is like rainwater, more than the zeichlin, than the flowing spring water, then it's forbidden. Because you're not having, the rainwater only purifies as a mikvah when it's gathered. If it's flowing, so although it's in the spring, but if there's more rainwater than spring water, it can't purify in a flowing state. Now, therefore, when the river really gathers a lot of water, it overflows, then that's going to be the problem, because now we have to be concerned that maybe there's so much water. Now, however, if it only gained a lot of water slowly, or it didn't really gain that much water, then obviously there's no concern that there's more nitrogen, more rainwater than the spring water itself, than the river, then it would be permitted, as is taught in the Tosefta, that Rabbi Elazar Tzaddik said that regarding the Zeichelin, if there's more of the spring water, the river water, than of the rainwater, then it's going to be kosher. But that's what we see, that just the halachic relevance, when the Euphrates gets large, that means to say it rained in Eretz Yisrael, so it's rainwater over here. So you have to be concerned that maybe there's more rainwater than the river water, and then you can't go ahead and use that as a mikvah, because the rainwater only purifies if it's in one place and it's flowing over here. Now, however, the Gemara says, Upliga de Shmuel, this halacha of Rav, and in the name of Rav, argues on Shmuel. Because the Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Nahara mikepe, a river from its bedrock, meaning from its source, Mizbarich, that's where it gets blessed. In other words, that's where its real growth comes from. In other words, even though we see that when it rains, that then the rivers start overflowing, the primacy of the overflow is actually from its source. We, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Tainis Daf Chafei Mebeis, that for every tafach of rain that comes from above, the from beneath the ground, it actually increases the water double that, two tafachs. So it comes out that you're always going to have more zeichelin, more of the river water, more than the nitrin, more than the rainwater, because for every tefach of rain that you have two tvachim of the spring. And therefore, according to Shmuel, you're always going to be allowed to tevel in the rivers. Even when you see that it rained and there's so much water, way more than it was before, it doesn't make a difference, because obviously Shmuel says it's not really from the rain. It obviously is increased from the rain, but double that is from beneath the ground, which that type of water is spring water, which is permitted even when it's flowing. So you're always going to have more flowing than rainwater, and therefore that's what the halachas of Rav go, and therefore it's permitted to tevel in flowing river water. Now, however, the Gemara does say, Upliga d'shmua, d'shmua. So though the halacha of Rav Namarav tells us you can't always go ahead and immerse in the river because when there's more rain, then you have that problem, and Shmuel argues in that, Shmuel says, no, you could always tevel in the river because you're always going to have more from the river than from the rain. That halacha of Shmuel actually argues on a different halacha of Shmuel. Because the Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, "Ein hamayim mitarin bezeichlin." A water cannot purify as a mikvah, meaning as immersion for purification purposes, when it's flowing, because of this concern that we said from Rav and Amar Rav, you have to be concerned for the nitvin, for the rainwaters. Now, as we get here on Tamid Beis, Ela Pras B'yoymi Tishrei B'lvav. Only the Euphrates in Tishrei, that's the only time when you'd be allowed to immerse in the Euphrates River, because that's not a time of rain. That's towards the end of the summer months, and neither is it a time of concern that when the snows are melting. So therefore, that obviously whatever water there is in the river at that time is from the river, which is permitted to be Zeichlin, then you'd be able to immerse yourself in the river, but any other time would be problematic, again, because of the concern of the rainwater being more than the river water, which again argues on the other halacha of Shmuel, which said that there's never a concern because you always have double in the river than there is from the rainwater. Now, however, the Ran explains and he says, this halacha of Shmuel is not coming to say that you can't tevel in any river besides the Euphrates, and neither is it coming to say that you can never immerse yourself in the Euphrates the rest of the year and only allow it in the days of Tishrei. Now, that's not what Shmuel is coming to say. Rather, what Shmuel is coming to say is that since there is a concern, where again this halacha of Shmuel is agreeing to Rav and the Merav, then maybe you're going to have more rainwater, more nitfin than zeichlin, than the river water. So, wherever it is that we're proficient and we know regarding the Euphrates, let's say in the days of Tishrei, we know how much the water increases. We know how much is from the river itself. So too we know regarding other rivers, that we know that it never gets less than a certain amount, even at a time when it gets really dry. So whenever we see that there's only that amount, so what concern would there be? There's no concern that maybe there's more rainwater than the river water, because we know that's how much river water there always is. And therefore, in those situations, of course, the Ran says that Shmuel would agree that you could immerse in those other rivers. And even in the Euphrates, if we know that's how much rainwater there always is and never gets less than that, and if that amount, we know it's from the river. So what is Shmuel teaching? Shmuel is teaching two halachas. First of all, regarding rivers that they dry up. There are certain times that they do dry up. They don't stay at a certain amount of water always. So those types of rivers, you're never allowed to immerse in those types of waters. The reason being is because sometimes they'll dry up. So we'll always have to be concerned regarding those rivers. We don't know where the water is from. The water might be from the rain or from melting snow. And since there is a concern that maybe it's rainwater, and the halacha is regarding rainwater, you cannot immerse in them when they're flowing. They have to be still. Therefore, Shmuel says that the water will not purify when it's flowing, except by the Euphrates and rivers like the Euphrates, which never dry up. They never run dry. Now, that's excluding when it picks the Euphrates. It only picks the Euphrates to exclude what's called Mayim HaMachazvim, waters that do lie. In other words, that because it's not really the river water, it really dries up. Now, but it doesn't mean just the Euphrates. It means rivers like the Euphrates. That's one halacha. So it has to be specifically rivers like the Euphrates, because others that dry up, you have to be concerned. We never know. It might not be the river. And if it's not river, it's really rainwater. Can't immerse in such waters. Now, another halacha Shmuel is saying is that even by the Euphrates and rivers like that, which do not dry up, it's still not carte blanche. It's not always permitted to immerse in those types of rivers. It's not going to be permitted to do it all year round if you're not proficient in the waters. The only times that even in the Euphrates, if you're not a baki, that you could definitely tivel in those rivers like the Euphrates would be in the days of Tishrei. Now, the reason being is because the days of Tishrei are not times of rain, and they're not times of melting snow because it's just the end of this summer. Therefore, even someone that's not proficient in the waters, he doesn't have to be concerned that maybe at this point in time that there's more rainwater than the river water. But for sure, the Ran says that somebody that is a buck, he's proficient in the waters of the Euphrates and rivers like that, then the whole entire year, wherever you see that it didn't increase more than what the flowing waters are in the times of Tishrei, because you know Tishrei is always going to be the river water. So you see that now, even if it's a different time of the year, that it's still the same amount of waters. So therefore, there's no concern that it's going to be from the Nitfin. For sure, the rest of the year, you could also tell in that amount too. And so too would be actually the opposite way as a stringency. If let's say someone that's a Baki sees in the times of Tishrei, that there's so much water until definitely there might be concern that there is more rainwater. For some reason, it rained that time and at this season, which normally doesn't, that maybe it's going to be more rainwater than river water, then you're right. Even the Tishrei wouldn't be able to tivel in that. It's that Shmuel is saying, in a general rule, somebody that doesn't recognize, he's not well-versed in the river, in the levels of water. So then, even by rivers that don't dry up, like the Euphrates, so you still have to be concerned the rest of the year, maybe there is rainwater more than the river water. But at the times of Tishrei is what he's saying, that then you don't have to be concerned. But that's at least what the Gemara was saying, is that the basic halacha of Shmuel over here definitely contradicts the other halacha of Shmuel, that there obviously are times of being concerned that there's more rainwater than river water, where the previous halacha of Shmuel said there's never concern because you're always going to have double of river water for every tefach of rainwater that comes from above. But however, like this last halacha of Shmuel, the Gemara says that so to Avud Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, Avud Lahain Mikvois Labante, he made Mikvois, special pits of gathered water for his daughters, Beyoyme Nisan, in the days of Nisan. The reason being is because Nisan is at a time when you have to be concerned that it's at the end of the winter where all the snow could be melting. So he didn't let them go ahead and immerse in the river at that time, because that's a legitimate concern at that time, that there's going to be more rainwater, more melting snow water than the flowing river water. And since it's flowing, that would be a problem if it's from the snow and not from the river. So therefore, in the times of Nisan, he made mikvois for them. Umavtzi b'yayim Tishrei, and he made mats for them in the times of Tishrei, which is to use in the river, because at that time it's permitted. As we said, the times of Tishrei, there's no concerns of the Nitfin, because it's not raining and there's no melting snow. Now, the reason why he made mats for them was either because he wanted them to put it underneath their feet, because the bottom of the river could be muddy, and that shouldn't be a problem of chatzitza, but an interposition between their feet and the river of the water to be tar. Or it was used, the mats were used as tznius, as modesty, as a partition to protect them from other people. Now, he let them and the month of Tishrei in that time to immerse in the river, as we said, because in the month of Tishrei, there's no concern of having the neitfin more than the zeichlin. Now, the Ram points out that this, that, and the Gemara says that in the times of Nisan, then he made for the mikvahs. So he heard the interpretation means to say from Nisan until Tishrei, because from Nisan to Tishrei is going to be a concern of the rainwater being more than the river water. And for sure, in the winter months, for sure he wouldn't let them go ahead and immerse in the river because of those concerns of the rain. And therefore, for those times, he had mikvahs. But the Ram doesn't like that interpretation, because then it should have said a more simple way. It should have just said that he made mikvahs for his daughters the whole year, because the whole year they're in the mikvah, but the mats were just for the time of Tishrei. Why does it say that Begimi Nisan were the mikvahs? So rather, the Ram says a different interpretation. He says that the daughters of the father of Shmuel, meaning Shmuel's sisters, in the winter, they obviously wouldn't immerse in the river because it was too cold. Rather, they had mikvahs in their homes. Now, in the months of Nisan, where it starts warming up, so then they wanted to go outside and immerse themselves. So they would go to the rivers. But their father, in those beginning of Nisan, at that time period, he would make, although they would go to the rivers, but he would make special pits by the rivers that they should immerse themselves until the times of Tishrei. So although they're going out and they want to go out to the water to go in and immerse, because it's a beautiful time and place to go to the mikvah, but he would make pits for them because you can't use the river at that time because there's concern about the melting snow, and that's the concern of Neitfin. So that's why it says Bayemi Nisan is when he made for the mikvahs. It means out in the river he made the mikvahs. Regarding the winter, we weren't talking about that. They did in the homes, in the mikvahs they had at home. Now, in the times of Tishrei, then when they went out to the river, they didn't need the mikvahs, the pits they had over there in the river, because at that point already there's no concern of Neitfin, and therefore he made for them these mats so that when they could use them, that they don't get dirty from the floor, that as a partition, then now they could go ahead and just use the river without the pits that are there in the river. Now, when the month of Tishrei passed, then they already went back home to immerse themselves in the mikvah because it was too cold even to use the mikvahs that they had in the river because it's way too cold. So then they go ahead and they use the mikvahs that they have in buildings, in homes, and that's what it means that in both of them are referenced, Yemi Nisan, Yemi Tishrei, to the river. Only question is, the Ram says, we're in the river, can you tivel? In Tishrei, there's no concerns at all, so you could use anywhere in the river. In the days of Nisan, so although they wanted to go in the river, but then he would make for them special pits that they would be still water, so that even though there's a concern of the flowing of the rainwater and of the melting snow, it's not going to be a problem because it was still water. Again, this halacha of the father Shmuel was like this last halacha of Shmuel, which is that, and like the halacha of Rav, which is there is a concern having more rainwater than of the flowing water of the river, and therefore you have to have all these different concerns. Like we said, Pras B'yemi Tishrei is going to be a permitted time, whereas in contrast to the other halacha of Shmuel. Now the Ran has a whole arichas, and there is a big machlekes Rishayim regarding what is the halacha, as we find that there is this machlekes regarding are we concerned in immersing in the river because of the rainwater or not.